you see, what Roy Johnson starts on, he's getting around the bombing holes he had. No, we cannot be in that position, even though you're going, because you don't know what we'll be doing here. What I'd like to see is, in this next week, I mean this week while you're gone, I think on the battlefront, I think everything that can fly should be hitting the whole battlefront, including the stuff up to the 19th parallel.
Of course.
Just to be sure they understand.
Oh, no.
The point is, Mr. President, the story out of Saigon indicated two things. One, we would not get high bomb Hanoi, and that we would cut the number of sorties in the South. And we must not do the last
thing. I have had a talk with Moore, and I've had a talk with Rush this morning, with exactly this scene. My concern was, Mr. President, that when you say maximum effort, they will interpret this to mean that they should go slow in the South and put it all into the North. Then you're going to have stories to the effect that you are detracting from the battle. They are flying.
I just want to hit. I got to hit it and say, drop it all in three corps if necessary. All of it. But I want what appears to be a maximum effort someplace.
All over the country.
So yeah. Let me put it this way. A concentrated effort. So they say the biggest strike, concentrated strike. So we get a story or two out like that in the South. I don't care. I just want it to be in the North.
Actually, Mr. B- they have... what they're doing in the North now, they haven't done it the last 2 days, but they're starting again tonight, and they haven't done it because of some monkey business that Laird must have been engaged in. They're flying about 150 sorties, Mr. President, in the North. That's more than we ever flew on any protective reaction strike that you ordered. So this is pretty massive. That's in the area south of 19. On top of it, they're flying about 600 in the South, and the distribution now is they're making mass. The biggest effort is in military region 3. I genuinely believe that the battle is going so well all over the country that we ought not to give them bombing targets. I think they're doing really. I get a detailed briefing of every B-52
strike. One point that I emphasized more, which. We have never done in this war to date, is that when the enemy starts to break off, instead of reducing the bombing, increase it.
And of course,
you understand that is when you can really punish an enemy. When an enemy is in retreat, you can kill them.
And of course, we are getting another bonus this week. 10 more destroyers are going to get on that line, and that we should go forward on. I mean, that's not affected by anything.
Yeah.
But tonight they're starting again, hitting the North with at least 150 planes.
That's the stuff south of the 19th.
South of the 19th.
Fine. I don't want anything on the high bomb, and I think that's a fair deal with the Russians. Incidentally, you've got to take off a little time. Bob told me that Butts feels he's got to report to me this trip. So he reported to you.
No, I talked to him today.
I'll see you and say around 3:30 and finish it up because
3:30 I'm gonna be about it.
You talked about. Maybe. I want you to be there because there's a great problem, I know Bob, in sending anybody abroad. Is it Romney or Butts or Bolkey or
the time
they
take
they gotta come in and report.
Well,
they shouldn't report to you, they shouldn't report to me, but they don't know it. But it is, so it's an interesting little flap. He says that Bean thinks that Brezhnev is personally not hostile to the president. He, Butts, is convinced that Brezhnev is personally hostile to the president, based that he didn't like the way the president conducted himself with his people. Well, now, it doesn't mean anything. God damn it, Bean's evaluation, I don't give one shit about it. He doesn't know anything. Or Butts is even less.
Sure.
I mean, Brezhnev, you see, these people are all, they're all confusing this business. Personal hostility. Who in the hell cares? I don't make decisions based on whether the person is personal, I stood hostile or not. He is an enemy.
Okay.
I know that. Isn't that silly? Why does being, oh Christ, what gets me down though is how our people are so goddamn naive.
Here it
is. Brezhnev, whether Buzz is right or being is right is irrelevant, and we'll have to listen respectfully to him because he's a nice fellow and he's trying to do well. God damn, why they have to get in this.
Well, Sant is a bit of an egomaniac. He goes there. We told him before he went that this was to be the president, so he doesn't know the big game.
Yeah. He wanted to be back. A big press conference and announce the grand deal.
Huh? That's right.
Well, he's not going to do that. He didn't do it.
He didn't do it, but it was like we had to let a lot of blood to get it done.
Well, you see, Henry, isn't it amusing when I'm going to see Bud Spieler, it's all that he and Bean disagree as to whether Brezhnev's personally hostile to the president. Why is that? Has nothing to do with it.
I believe that Brezhnev is committed his whole prestige to this policy. And to see what...
As a communist, Dobrynin is personally hostile to me.
Oh, personally?
Totally. I am personally hostile to him. But in a social way, we get along fine.
The vitality of your foreign policy is shown by the fact that you could attack Hanoi and Haiphong and get really only the most mild mumbling...
At this point.
Now it's not going to happen anymore. Because today in China, for 2 days, they didn't cover it in the press at all. Today they had an editorial in the People's Daily, which was so mild. And then when they protest about overflying them, instead of making it public, they send it through the secret channel, and they say one plane violated, they give the time, and they don't say you must stop the bombing of Hanoi.
Jackass Mansfield and Scott, are they over there now?
Oh yeah, they've landed. They've been there for 12 hours.
I hope they go ahead. They'll Mansfield will cry and say, shouldn't have done it, I'm sorry.
I think the Chinese aren't going to
give them. You hear what Scoop Jackson, I thought it was a curious comment at the very moment. He said, well, I approve the president's actions, but it's 6 years too late. I can't understand the timing. What in the name of God, who the hell does he think was here 6 years ago? Who to Christ? The timing. Of course, Jackson has got to be political, doesn't it? But that is an interesting straw in the whip. As far as the timing is concerned, I said to Haldeman, I said, well, and I think Colson understands these things. He is a good soldier. And I've got to get him in and talk to him one of these times. Because he's charging up these guys. We've got to charge him the right way. But the timing. Basically, was we picked the time. None of which they attacked. That gave us the provocation.
Mr. President, I must tell you, I know no president who would have had the guts to do it now.
That's what they're
to do it with an
invitation. It is wrong to do it politically, or is that really what they're
saying? And to do it with an invitation to Moscow for you in the pocket and a secret invitation to me, it really showed a lot of gall. They invite us on Thursday. I mean, on Thursday they make it definite, and on Saturday we clobber Haiphong to tell them, all right, you bastards. This is the game that's going to be played in Moscow. But it so strengthens my hand in Moscow that it was a risk that had to be taken.
You could have gone.
I could have gone, but in a very weak position.
Well, in a position of only talking about the sun.
Yeah.
Now we're in a position to talk about Vietnam. Oh, the only other thing I want to tell you is, it seemed to me, Henry, the least you should get out of your meeting with the Russians is that when we return, that the president should be able to announce that Vietnam would be first on the agenda of the Moscow summit. You get my point? That'll put it to him hard. Why not? Just understand. I'm not concluding this, but let's discuss this tomorrow. But you see, anything like that could come out of your trip.
But
even if you get only that, even though you don't get a summit, if we can say Vietnam will be on the agenda of our discussion, now that of course makes it necessary for us to get a summit out of Vietnam.
The only hesitation I have, Mr. President, is they are now scared. They have to be.
Yeah.
You've got a massive armada there. We have to make sure they're not just playing for time.
So maybe they would agree to that.
But this is playing for time. This gives them 5 weeks.
I'm just thinking, though.
No, we ought to...
I'm thinking that when you return, if you've got nothing, we got a bomb to help.
No.
Or blockade.
One question.
If you blockade, do you think there'll be a summit?
No.
Well, then, you think we should take that risk? That's the real thing.
Mr. President,
we may have
you and I should act towards everybody.
That's right.
As if we were going right off the cliff.
That's
only way we can make it
better. That's why I'm trying to get Larry. Larry says, oh, don't worry, I'm going to be very strong, very strong.
He is pretty tough, he's tough. I saw him on television. You know, he is pugnacious, apparently. He's so crooked now, he's lying on that side. And he's already put out a statement that there are no limitations, and he's tough as hell now. So it's all right. I saw him tackle full side. He said, you're totally irresponsible, Senator. How can you say they've violated every understanding? You're asking us to come back to make another understanding that they can break when they haven't even kept the other one. He was.
Be hawkish, be that's right. Yes. Okay. One thing about it, Henry, is that we mobilize our cautionists. That's why I don't want this week to have the Goldwater, for example, and others get terribly disappointed and say, well, the president did one, and because the Russians protested, we quit.
Oh, no, that's this is why we're so upset. See, we should have been banging away the last 2 days. But tonight they're starting again. I have more as I am glad to show it.
But do you think they stopped that because of something? How long? We didn't tell them to stop.
But I think they stopped it. Oh, certainly not.
Maybe because they're just tired.
They stopped it for two reasons. One is that they were making up facilities in the north and the south, which is a purely bureaucratic technical thing. But of course, it is going so well in the south.
Now, you check to see if he's free now. Now, somebody in the chair, don't run him out, because I can go anywhere in the next 5 minutes.
One can hardly believe it.
I don't believe a thing. But let me tell you this, Henry. Let's come back before all this started. Remember we said Thompson's report? He said they haven't got it left anymore. The war's won, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We know what we did to him in Laos. We know what we did to him in Cambodia. We know that we've been bombing better. Remember, you told me that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. But all of these things, they haven't got the wherewithal to maintain a massive offensive in Three Corps. They haven't got it. That's my opinion.
Well, now, we're going to get one more terrific back in Three Corps. Those are their best divisions.
Yep.
And
how we get stuck down there.
But I think every succeeding wave is going to be a little less. For example, they fought the 5th Division in Anlock, that's the lousiest army division. Where they are now, they'll have to fight the 21st and the 25th. Those are the two best army divisions. Having lost their initial momentum, and while they're moving, they're being clobbered by the B-52s, and the B-52s must strike some of them sometime. That Britisher said yesterday to me, he was a guard officer for 6 years. He said, oh, don't give me this business. One of the lips there was saying, farming never does anything. He said, listen, I was in the war and I've seen more people come out of their foxholes with their hands up when they got hit. If you can find them and you can bomb them, it's the most demoralizing form of warfare.
Right.
Another interesting
intelligence. My experience in war was so limited. I'll never forget 13 straight nights in Bougainville. Just a few little Japanese planes, those crazy little planes that come over with their unsynchronized things, and the bombs would be whistling down. And I got used to it. I just sat there. But I had one fellow who was with us, another officer, naval officer, who said that during that entire period he was like this, shaking. During the end, you know, we'd be there for hours just shaking like that. And he was ready to crap, and a couple of guys did come back. Now that's minuscule bombing. Think what this does to people.
We're finding, we got an intelligence report today, and we don't know how they evaluated it. Senior North Vietnamese are saying, hey, the naval gunfire is shaking them up. Secondly, the one thing they're glad about is that we don't have the New Jersey anymore. If we had the New Jersey out there, they say, with the 16-inch guns, they'd be in a hopeless position because that could interdict all their roads.
Why don't we get it out there?
I checked already with Moore. It will take 4 months to get it ready.
Well, the Newport News is 8-inch guns. That'll reach in there pretty well.
That'll reach in there pretty well. And that's coming in, I think, next Monday.
Why didn't we keep the New Jersey out there?
Because everything was coming home. Expensive to operate, and we weren't really shelling along the North Vietnamese coast at the time. say they can handle air attacks from a logistics point of view, but they cannot handle naval gunfire because it comes without warning. And it is with flames of artillery that can disperse.
That I wouldn't expect. If you think of it, Mr. President, I gave the
judging by what you get. But I think that the credibility of our position, if you come back with nothing, if the Mountain Lakers produces a mouse, would be totally impaired. The only alternate to blockade